California faces a school library crisis due to the lack of a designated state funding source, leading to limited books, fewer librarians, and many schools without functioning libraries. Access Books Bay Area aims to address this issue by providing high-quality, culturally relevant books and transforming school library spaces. Their goal is to improve literacy for K-8 students in low-income areas, creating inviting environments that foster a love of reading. You can help this effort to bridge the literacy gap by donating and finding out more at accessbooksbayarea.org.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, what's happening, everyone? We've got a quick turnaround from last night to today as the San Jose Sharks have their second to last game of the season. They are taking on Vancouver tonight on the road, 7 o'clock go time, 6:30 pregame right here on the Sharks Audio Network. And of course, the Sharks finish their season on Wednesday night at 7:30, hosting the Edmonton Oilers. The San Jose Barracuda are back in the playoffs for the first time since the 2020-2021 campaign. To talk about all of that, we are now joined by the voice of the Barracuda, Nick Nolenberger. Noli, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah, we're down to two games left in the regular season. It's incredible how things are so far from being settled on who the Barracuda will play in the first round. They could still, in theory, host an opening round playoff series. They need to win out, though, and have Coachella Valley lose in regulation in their final three games. So unlikely that they will start at home, but they don't know if they're going to play the Firebirds or the Abbotsford Canucks or the Ontario Reign. All of that is still up in the air, but it's been a fun year between all the prospects who have come in and played so well and then all the veteran guys who have led the way. It's been a while since the Barracuda have made the playoffs. So from a broadcasting standpoint, as you know, it's easier to get interviews. It's easier to call games when the team's winning and the vibes are high. So it's been a lot of fun. So from my standpoint, I'm doing great.
Nice, nice. Love to hear it, man. I'm trying to think, the last playoff appearance was the 2020-21 season.
Yes, it was. And that was just the Pacific Division. The rest of the league decided with COVID to not conduct playoffs. Pacific did. So the Barracuda played 2-1 gamers, essentially, and they got into a pool of teams by winning both of those games. And then they were eliminated in the series against Henderson. So they haven't made the Calder Cup playoffs. I believe it's since 2019, I believe, is the last time. So it's been a while since they've actually participated in the Calder Cup playoffs, and that's what it's all about, right? That's what the league plays for, and the fact they haven't been in that tournament for as long as they have, I guess it just makes it that much more exciting that they're back.
So right now, what is the outlook from your perspective on how far this team can go? Because, you know, I've looked at the Barracuda all year long, and it's, even though maybe we weren't expecting it as much, the Sharks didn't end up taking a lot of talent away from the team, especially a player like Colin Graf, who was having such a hot start to the season. Plus, there have been injuries lately with Podorowski, Jimmy Schultz as well. So, I mean, are guys going to get healthy? And with the influx of a Musty and a Chernyshov, how do you feel about things?
Well, in calling games with Drew this year on multiple occasions, we've talked about it. It feels like this Barracuda team can beat anybody in the league. They can also lose to anybody. So there's been some ups and downs. And I think, as you mentioned, injuries play a role in that, recalls. But that's the life in the AHL. That's how it goes throughout the year. You're going to have guys in the lineup sometimes. Other times you won't. And every team deals with it. So sometimes you get lucky and you'll play a team that's really shorthanded because they've got five or six guys in the NHL. And that's just the nature of the beast in the American Hockey League. But without a doubt, the potential of this team is there. I think the ceiling is really, really high to go on a long run. The biggest box, usually in the playoffs, we see in the NHL certainly, is the goalie position. If you can check that box, you've got a chance to beat anybody and go on a long run. And I think with Yaroslav Askarov now being healthy, he missed over a month, there's a lot of optimism that this team could make some noise come playoff time. But the decor has been really thin lately. You mentioned an injury to Jimmy Schultz. He's back now, and that's been really helpful, but he was then recalled this morning. But that being said, he should be back in time for the playoffs, and even maybe this weekend because the Sharks are done on Wednesday. But there's been injuries, as you mentioned, with Podorowski. He leads the AHL in scoring and hasn't played in the last seven games, and he's still comfortably in the number one spot. If he's not back come the start of playoffs, I think that's a major concern. This is a guy who's been to the finals four times. He's won two championships. He's been a playoff MVP in the AHL. So his resume speaks for itself. If he's not in the lineup, then all of a sudden you're quite a bit thin, I would say, down the middle because he's your number one center. So, again, this team could go on a long run. I think without a doubt they could go all the way, to be honest. But they're going to need to be healthy. Things are going to have to bounce the right way. They're going to need to have really strong goaltending. And the D-Corps got to get a little healthier, too. It was disappointing last night to see Jack Thompson get banged up because he's expected to come back. Lucas Carlson should come back. That'll help the D-Corps as well. But it's a thin group. The last weekend, we had six rookies in the lineup playing against the first-place team in the league. So that's not necessarily ideal. We'll see what happens, though. You get in the tournament, and you never know.
How is the reintroduction of Colin Graf gone? I imagine that he would, you know, slot back in without missing a beat because he is that type of player. It seems like he is there's a very, not a sharp learning curve with his game. He just goes out there and does what he's asked to do. But, you know, anytime a guy has been away for a bit, it can take a second to reacclimate themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I think he stepped in right away and been at the level he was before. The offense in the two games, I think he's been now with us for two games, maybe three at this point since being reassigned. It hasn't necessarily been there, but he does so many other things. He's been on the number one penalty kill. You know, the penalty kill for the first 3 months or so of the season was in the top five in the league for quite a bit of time. They were the number one unit in the league. And then they dipped all the way to, I want to say 17. So it fell on some hard times. And having Colin Graf back in the lineup, him and Patrick Giles are the two forwards on the number one PK unit. And I think it killed off 13 or 14 in a row. It went three or four games without giving up a power play goal, which hadn't happened, it felt like, for a couple of months. So to get him back, he fills a lot of different roles. He's on your number one power play. He's on your number one killing group. And of course, you've seen his hockey smarts on full display all season long. He does a lot of different crafty things to impact the game. So yeah, Colin Graf, I think, has opened a lot of eyes this year throughout the organization as a piece moving forward at the NHL level. And it's a luxury at this point of his career that he's going to be able to play in the Calder Cup playoffs to get that experience under his belt as well. But and he's hardened when it comes to postseason play. He won a national championship at Quinnipiac a couple of years ago. That's single elimination. So if you're able to do that, I'm sure it feels a lot less stressful to try to go into a postseason where you've got more than one game to try to move on. So, yeah, he's been outstanding. And I would imagine the offense starts to come to for him as he continues to play games with his team.
What has been your assessment of Yaroslav Askarov in his return? Obviously, he had one very good performance and then another one that was surrounding the letdown game after the clinching, to which I was not entirely surprised that there was a relative letdown on Saturday after, you know, taking care of business on Friday night.
Well, it's always interesting when you see guys go up and down, because I do think that can impact performance. He was so good early in the year for the Barracuda, dominant. Looked like he didn't belong in the league. He was too good. But he goes to the NHL. I thought that was great for his development and getting that experience. Hadn't spent a real legitimate amount of time in the NHL prior to this year. So I thought that was awesome. Then he gets injured back in February and he missed, I think, 19 straight games over a month and a half. So out for a while, came back. You're kind of not sure when that was going to be. And when he came back, you're a little bit cautious in terms of how he's going to look and perform. I thought he was great against Colorado, first place team in the league on the road, a tough building to play in. Didn't get the win in his first start back, but then he followed it up last Wednesday in Coachella Valley. And won a 1-0 game in overtime, and he was outstanding, made 24 stops. So getting him back beyond just his ability to stop pucks, his ability to play the puck as well is a huge element, and it helps that young D core, right? It's like an extra D back there. So it had a little bit of a setback against Ontario, but the Barracuda, for whatever reason, have been very susceptible on home ice over their last five games. Their first periods, and frankly, their first 3 or 4 minutes of games have been horrendous. I don't know why it is. It's just been one of those kind of weird deals where teams are blitzing them early and scoring goals. You can go back to Saturday. The Barracuda allowed two goals in the opening 3 minutes, and they lost the game 4-0. So that was essentially the game in the first couple of minutes. So if they can straighten that out, kind of iron out those kinks early in hockey games, they're going to be in a better spot because they're not playing from behind. So hard to get a real read on that game just because both the team and Askarov were playing behind so early in the hockey game. But I'm not too concerned about him. I feel like when it comes to playoff time, he's a gamer, and he's going to put his best foot forward.
What was your assessment of the reinforcements in Musty and Chernyshov?
Chernyshov, we obviously have not seen him yet, but...
Oh, I thought he did on the Saturday game.
Okay. Oh, he hasn't played yet, but we could certainly see him this week, and I would imagine he gets in at least one of the games. But, you know, his numbers in the OHL speak for themselves. Had that shoulder injury that kept him out for the first couple of months. and then was skating with the Barracuda kind of almost in a rehab situation before joining Saginaw. I mean, his numbers were ridiculous in that league. Yeah. Now, that league, you'll see some pretty inflated numbers from time to time, but I mean, he's having 5-6 point games. I think I counted over 20 multi-point games. He played around 23 games, and I think he was around almost 2 points per game. It was ridiculous, the production that he had in that league. And to step in to a North American style, I know it's not the AHL or the NHL, but to step into a different environment and have that type of production, I think is a pretty telling sign on the type of ability that he has. So yeah, definitely looking forward to seeing Chernyshov in these final couple of games. We'll see if he ends up making the lineup and getting into playoff games. Wouldn't be surprised if that occurs as well. But yeah, small sample size for Musty, but you saw the offense. He had a couple of chances where he carried the puck through the neutral zone very confidently and gained the line and was able to pull the trigger quickly from kind of a distant shot. He had a couple of opportunities in a similar location in the high slot, and had the goalie not gotten just a teeny bit of the puck, it's a goal, upper shelf. So I mean, you saw some of the skills that is so tantalizing from an offensive perspective. So looking forward to him playing this upcoming weekend as well, and we'll see. I just don't know how the lineup's going to shake out come playoff time, because there are so many bodies right now with this team.
In terms of Musty, I know one of the criticisms we heard of him, you know, in training camp and maybe over the summer, was that even though he has a bigger body, it seemed like there was a little bit of hesitation for him to use his physicality to the extent that he could be able to. Is that something maybe that you noticed as well, or did he look pretty comfortable and was able to use his size to his advantage?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I saw him really get into the fray in terms of physicality. But I don't think he stuck out in a negative way either. I didn't see any sort of defensive lapses in his game. He did turn the puck over once, trying to make a play inside the blue line that led to an odd man rush back the other way that ended up resulting in a penalty. That was maybe the one blemish, but he's such a skilled offensive player that I think he believes at any point in any area of the ice, he can make a play. So those are the parts of the game that make him special. And as his career continues along, he'll learn how to play on the defensive side of the puck a little bit better. I think getting out of the OHL as well, and getting out of the system that he was in, and that's no knock on Sudbury, but it was very offensive, a little run and gun, which allowed for him to put up a ton of points, but also he didn't have to focus on the defensive side of the puck as much. I think as he gets to the pro level, he's going to feel that kind of extra jolt of energy and excitement, because I don't know for sure, but it did seem like he was so successful at the OHL level. He wanted another challenge and needed another challenge. And I think the AHL will provide that. And so we may see a little bit more of a commitment on the other side of the puck. And again, I didn't see him play a ton in the OHL, but you see the offense. Mm-hmm. And one thing you can't teach, at least at this point of your career, in my mind, is being a prolific offensive threat. That's a lot of God-given talent and a lot of effort and commitment throughout your early life. You know, he can still develop into even more of a prolific player, but that is something you can't teach usually is goal scoring prowess, and he has it. So the other stuff can come as his career continues along.
What has been the reaction from Luca Cagnoni after he had his time in the NHL? Because I thought, Nolly, that he looked pretty good to me. I mean, I wasn't sure about how he would do, but you know, I could tell that he was learning the game, but it slowed down for him. And I thought that I was like, okay, if I could see an extended run from him, I could see him slotting in nicely. Obviously he's not the biggest guy in the world, but you know, I didn't look at his size as a problem when he was out there. I thought he had some nice plays. And he's just, you know, he's such a positive dude all the time. He always seems like he's in a good mood. He's always having fun. And I would imagine that getting his personality back to the Barracuda was good as well.
Yeah, for sure. One of the things I asked him when he came back, I said, I know you're not back in the NHL, and coming back here, you might be a little bit disappointed, but is it fun to come back into the room? Because two of his roommates, Jake Furlong and Braden Hache, are on the Barracuda. He lives with those guys. Obviously, he's back on the same team with them. He's a young guy. The AHL is a young league, so you're around a lot of your peers and a lot of players at the same point of their career trying to develop and get up to the National Hockey League on a regular basis. And he admitted, yeah, he was excited to be back with the group. And one, given the fact that this team is right on the cusp of the playoffs and it's been an exciting year. He's had a great year at the AHL level, but certainly grateful for the opportunity in the NHL. Understood that he was going to go up and likely come back, so he wasn't overly disappointed. But I'm sure that lights the fire to get back to the NHL. I'm sure he learned a lot from that experience as well. And he has checked so many boxes this year. He's never going to be the biggest guy. I mean, that's just the reality of his situation. But the way he angles guys off, his, you know, stick on puck ability has stuck out to me in such a positive way. I don't look at him in any way as a liability in his own defensive zone. The NHL, a different animal, obviously. But he's been so impressive, even in his own defensive zone this year. And then on top of that, his prolific offensive numbers have just been eye-popping. So certainly a player that gets you really excited in an organization that has a ton of young talent, but maybe where the deficit is on the back end. And to get a guy where they did in the middle rounds, for him to put this type of season together as a 20-year-old, has been amazing to see. So I certainly want to see him continue to elevate his game come playoff time, but it's hard to not think that he's got a really good chance of making the NHL over the next couple of years and sticking because of all the ability that he has. And then again, he's committed to his own defensive zone. It's not like he's just all offense all the time and just kind of forgets about defending. He knows he's a defenseman first and foremost. But man, there's a lot of tools there to work with Luca Cagnoni.
What do you think has to go right for this team for them to make that deep run other than getting rid of those slow starts that you mentioned?
Yeah, slow starts, obviously, you don't want to fall behind, especially in the first round because it's a best of three series. So you lose two games, the season's over. So you certainly can't fall behind in these games in the first couple of minutes. But, you know, I think, again, it sounds cliche, but you've got to get good goaltending come playoff time. And hopefully the D-Corps starts to get bolstered as the Sharks season comes to an end. A lot of these young players, Cagnoni comes to mind. Sure, they're rookies, but they've got over 50, 60 games now under their belt at the pro level. So when you get to about the halfway point and beyond of that first season, a lot of these guys don't really feel like rookies anymore because they've seen a lot and they've experienced a lot at the pro game. So they need those young guys to be able to elevate their game come playoff time. And they need to not be carrying themselves as rookies. It's going to be overwhelming at times. The pressure is going to be high, but you need these young guys to step up and play like vets, to be honest, because the Barracuda, again, if you look at one area of their team that has a question mark, it's got to be the back end because of how youthful it is. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of these guys have played, I think, beyond where they're at in their careers and exceeded expectations, but they'll need to be that much better. So obviously the power play has been so good this year. Number one in the league, the PK starting to trend back in a good direction. Special teams vital come playoff time because there's just not a lot of space out there. So if you are on special teams, whether it's on the power play or on the PK, you've got to win that part of the game. But again, you get good goaltending. The young D-Corps is able to settle into the playoffs, not allow for the moment to be too big. And then you look at the forward group, it's so tantalizing in terms of depth and talent. Again, I really feel like this team, if it comes together and things bounce in the right way and everybody kind of meshes in lockstep, it's going to be a hard team to exit out of the playoffs. So I'm sure there's a lot of teams not wanting to play the Barracuda, but we'll see come playoff time. Certainly in a short series, San Jose will have to start on time.
And just as a final one for you, how is Coach John McCarthy reacting to all this? Because obviously it's a big opportunity for him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he's excited. This is year three for him and his coaching staff, Louis Mass and Kyle Hagel and Eric Pinsky, our video coach. The hours and time that these guys commit to these players, you know, it's hard to sometimes fathom how much coaches spend in their office, whether it's looking at tape or going over video with players or getting ready for meetings. I mean, these guys are putting in the hours, obviously on the ice with these guys every single day. So there's a huge emotional commitment for the coaching staff, time commitment. And to get into the playoffs, it's a relief, I'm sure, to be honest, because even if you're not in the NHL, there is a pressure to get into the playoffs. And I know the organization has wanted this team to get into the postseason to allow for these young players to get that experience. So it's a big box to check. And once you get in, again, you just never know. So if I had to speak for them and just kind of surmising the overall vibe of the coaching staff, certainly a relief and excitement to see where this team can go, because without a doubt, this has been the most talented group they've had. And I think they feel if things can go the right way, they can make some noise come playoff time.
No, I'm very excited, Nolly. I think this is going to be fun. I can't wait to get to some of these games, hopefully at TechCU Arena, and have some fun. I think I know a guy who can help get me in there, right?
I think you do. Thank you, Ted. As always, appreciate it, man. It's been so fun catching up with you kind of on a regular basis throughout the year, and you're doing a great job, and appreciate it. Hopefully we can connect again, because that would mean the Barracuda would still be in the playoffs.
Love it, man. Well, Noli, I will talk to you soon, all right?
All right, Ted. Take care.
Again, that is the voice of the Barracuda, Nick Nolenberger, joining us here on the Sharks Audio Network. The Barracuda have two games left this season for the regular season. Friday at noon right here on the Sharks Audio Network, and then Sunday at noon right here on the Sharks Audio Network. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.